You feel different. You drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Some relief for residents of Maine after a multi-day manhunt, as authorities say the suspect in this week's mass shootings in Lewiston has been found dead. Local resident Chris Flanagan reacting to the news.
Whatever demons he had, he suffered with them. I do get that, but why did he go somewhere where there was children, knowing he had three children of his own?
Authorities say Robert Card was found dead of an apparent suicide at a recycling center in nearby Lisbon Falls, where he worked. Amid the war between Israel and Hamas and the growing tensions between Israel and Hezbollah militants in Lebanon, the U.S. Embassy in Beirut now telling U.S. citizens in Lebanon to leave the country. U.S. forces in the Middle East, meanwhile, intercepting a suicide drone just miles short of a base in Iraq. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the suspected Iranian-backed attack on U.S. forces is unacceptable and must stop. Last week, a U.S. warship intercepted a barrage of missiles launched from Yemen. This is ABC News. A busy weekend on the campaign trail for Republican presidential hopefuls.
Eight Republican presidential candidates, including former President Trump, are set for appearances at this weekend's Republican Jewish Coalition Conference, where they'll make appeals to potential donors and spell out their Israel policy positions. The three-day leadership event happening as Israel revs up its ground offensive against Hamas, following Hamas militants' deadly October 7th terrorist attack on Israel. Many of those Republican hopefuls will next face each other in the party's upcoming debate in Miami, which the Republican Jewish Coalition is co-sponsoring. Justin Finch, ABC News, Washington.
Abby Zwerner, the Virginia elementary school teacher who was shot by her first grade student back in January, making an appearance in court on Friday. She's filed a $40 million lawsuit against the Newport News School Division, saying administrators ignored multiple warnings that the student had a gun on the day she was shot. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Wonder Woman left me and those kids aren't even mine.
And you needed like little signs that said, bam, yeah. Wow, yeah. Oh.
Kapow.
Yeah, absolutely.
My knee.
Yeah, oh, gosh, that's funny. Hey, if you want to share costumes or any scary places in Wisconsin you think people should know about, give us a call or shoot us a text at 844-967-2789. Great column in Up North News. It's upnorthnewswi.com. From Aaron Yarnell about the ghost walks and trails, all the places to go around Wisconsin if you are into spooky things. And there are a lot of people who are.
Oh, gosh. This is, for some people, this is their Christmas.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, for a lot of people. Yeah.
So the first place they list, and I think this is pretty well known, but it's the Pfister Hotel.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you've talked to a number of pro athletes over the years because they tend to stay
Major
there.
Major League Baseball players are. You know,
they're really superstitious.
It's very superstitious. And there are some that will not, that for during the course of their career, would not stay at the Pfister. I even read a story about, this was a while ago, so don't make me bring up his name because I don't know. He was from the visiting team. He slept with a baseball bat because he was so worried about it. And people have reported hearing female voices in the hallway or hear people walking down the hallway and they look out the door and there's nobody there. And so, I mean, it's a notoriously haunted place. Yes.
What good is a baseball bat going to do?
It just made him feel better. I don't know.
It's a placebo.
Well, you know,
he's going to take, let's say for a second, let's walk down this trail. A ghost shows up. That's adorable. A ghost shows up. He takes one swing and he's going to go, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
Go right through him.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you never seen Ghostbusters?
Come on. Basics. Ghost basics.
Yeah. Well, you've got Shakers is notoriously haunted, too.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
They do tours.
And you can stay there.
You can stay there, but there are more than one person that I have spoken with that said, you do not go in the basement of Shakers. You do not.
Now, this is a bar in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. on 2nd Street.
And who is haunting it, do we know?
Well, from what I understand, there's been a young girl that's been seen there that maybe before Shakers was built, she was killed on this site. And then I think there's a woman, too.
That building has a history of ill repute.
Ah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Some brothel action going on.
Correct.
Yes.
Also, but I hear it's pretty scary down in the basement.
Well, if that's your thing, like Greg said, they do tours, and I know you can stay there. Another place on this list from upnorthnewswi.com, the Wisconsin Dells Haunted History Trolley Tour.
Oh, okay.
It may be the water park capital of the world, but if you believe in ghosts, you can take this Haunted History Trolley Tour to learn about Wisconsin Dells spine-chilling tales. The Broadhouse Grill, church-turned restaurant, is rumored to house the spirits of both a young girl and a Union soldier.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind something like that. I just don't want people jumping out at me.
Well, oh, yeah. I mean, I don't do any of that stuff.
No haunted houses.
I'm not paying someone $35 to make me almost pee myself.
That's hilarious. Well, I used to do like Little Bohemia up north where Dillinger and Capone used to vacation. That's supposed to be haunted too. But I will tell you this one haunted house story because Liz and I used to do them all the time. And we were at the Hills Have Eyes, which is really scary.
Yes, it is.
It can be very scary. But we were going into, we had to go through like a building. This is back in the day. We had to go through a building first, but we waited in line for like 2 hours. And she got hungry, and she's like, can I have something to eat? And I'm like, sure. So we bought her a hot dog. Well, the first place we went was nothing but these strobe lights going off.
Uh-oh.
And she looked at me, and she goes, Mom, I'm going to throw up.
Oh, God. And we just got in there.
And we just got in there. And we had walked past this, when you say somebody jumping out at you, somebody on stilts, and they were really tall. And then, so then I turn around and I'm trying to get her out and I'm going, to, you know, like I'm swimming upstream and this creature would not let us pass. And I was just like, all right. So I went into mom mode. And I remember I looked at him. I go, if you don't want throw up all over you, get out of the way.
You shall not pass without paying $17.95.
Yeah, I was away. I just sat there and waited for my girlfriend and her son to get through.
So he let you out after that?
Well, he didn't want throw up all over him. So.
Who does? Well, that's a question.
Now we know how to deal with a ghost.
We got a text from Mama Bri herself.
Oh, what does Mama Bri say?
He's a married man.
Gotcha.
Mike and I had our first kiss in the Shaker's basement.
That's right. I remember her telling me that. I didn't realize it was Shakers.
So you do go in the basement and you get a little
Get a little love.
Oh, my gosh.
Wes from Middleton is checking in on the text line at 844-967-2789. Governor's Island in Madison, top tier spooky, an old TB sanatorium. Mendota Hospital, Ed Gein's last residence right up on the hill, the old cemetery. Great view of the Capitol in downtown Madison. Great for an eerie fall hike.
Great cheese curds, too.
And you know what? Speaking of that, I just watched on Netflix, it's Ed Gein in his own words. I know. And it's him being interviewed by police. And it's like a two-hour documentary in two parts. And I thought it was fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And all of the movies that he inspired. I mean, we're going to talk movies later on. But all the movies that his story inspired is just unbelievable.
Because it was so horrifying.
Well, grave robber. Yeah.
Just horrifying. Yeah. One more place on this list that I wanted to cover, because you had mentioned that other place that supposedly a lot of gangsters hung out on.
Little Bohemia.
So this is the Four Seasons Island Resort in Pembine, which is almost on the Wisconsin-Michigan border, a little south of Crivitz. It's literally in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
But the picture of it is beautiful. It's this gorgeous resort, but it reminds me of the place in The Shining.
Oh, the Overlook?
Overlook. Sure. A little bit, but it's been open for 120 years, a hangout for Al Capone, still a hangout for spirits and ghost hunters. So if that's your thing, check out the Four Seasons Islands Resort. You can find this whole list at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll put that in our show notes after the end of the show. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies, overnight with lows around 35. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs level off around 44. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy. Chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow night, lows around 35. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, It's 36.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Madnair in for Kristen Bry. Kristen joins us now on Wednesdays at 10:33 until 11 o'clock while she's on maternity leave. So make sure you join us. You can either listen, you can watch on the stream and see how little Frankie Lou is doing. Greg Buck on the board, Carol Kane in studio with me in downtown Waukesha. And we'd love to hear from you at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, talking about creepy places, if that's your thing. And a lot of people are into it with Halloween right around the corner, scary places right in your own backyard. And even if it's not necessarily a haunted place, but I found this in the Waukesha Freeman. There's a house in Waukesha, the Halloween House of Waukesha South, and they've been doing this for 22 years, and they go all out.
Really?
I am just always so impressed by people who take it to the next level like that. They start in mid-September.
Oh my gosh, that's...
Setting really? Up a month and a half.
They set up. That's an amazing dedication.
It really is. It really is.
There used to be, is it an actual haunted house that you can go through?
No, it's their home. They decorate the outside. But over the course of 22 years, this has become pretty much a destination Halloween stop in Waukesha.
There was a house, I remember, on Maryland on the east side of Milwaukee. And there were a couple of artists that lived in it. And one year, because I kept hearing about this thing, and so one year I'm like, I got to go and check this thing out. And what they did was they made the entire front of their house into a werewolf head that came out.
Wow.
And then the mouth was open with the teeth. So you had to walk through the mouth to get into the house through the door. It was absolutely unbelievable.
That's amazing that people will go to that extent.
Yeah.
They do at this Waukesha Halloween Haunted House of Waukesha South. They do have donations. They do take donations for the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha, which is great. That is a wonderful organization. You and I have talked to them many, many times.
Right, right.
Well, and so if you can do that and make a little donation, that would be
that's
wonderful.
That's where Beauregard came from.
Oh, you came from Haas?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So there was you mentioned this Winchester house.
There's the Winchester Mansion, which is in California. And I looked it up. I misspoke off the air. The Winchester Mystery House is a mansion in San Jose, California. It was once the personal residence of Sarah Winchester, the widow of firearms magnate William Wirt Winchester. It's become a tourist attraction. And here's the reason why. She just kept adding on to it. And it's like 24,000 square feet or something like that. Yeah.
Well, I can see how you'd get cramped.
It's a shack.
Sure.
but there are staircases that go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
There, she would add a room from like, it's just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. And they have tours and you can get a tour, and it's supposed to be very haunted. Very, very haunted.
It just sounds interesting architecturally.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Gettysburg is also said to be very haunted. They've had people take pictures and there are ghostly images that appear in the fields. But, you know, there are a lot of lost souls there.
Absolutely.
Liz did something fun. Have you ever heard of the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs?
California?
No.
Where is Eureka Springs?
Arkansas. I think it's Arkansas.
Okay.
Anyhow, so she was visiting her friend in Missouri, and she decided, because she's all into this creepy stuff too. She's very much like her mother.
All right.
And so she went down and booked a room and stayed in this hotel all by herself, took the tour. She didn't see anything. She was supremely disappointed, but it was very interesting for her to do. And also, the other thing, I saw this on Nat Geo, and it's the Clown Motel.
Oh, that's
hard pass.
Just the title is terrifying.
Yeah.
The Clown Hotel.
The Clown Hotel. And what this hotel is, And I am not sure exactly where it is, but you could look it up. It's right there. The old Tonopah Cemetery. I don't know exactly.
Is it a cemetery?
No. It's next to a cemetery.
It's in Tonopah, Nevada.
Okay. So here's what the whole theory is. And people who have stayed at the hotel say they have seen the specter of this clown, like, standing over their bed.
Oh, yay.
But they show the cemetery next to this clown motel, and they have this image of this clown walking across the cemetery and going through the fence and then going into the hotel and haunting the people that are staying there. To which my son, I said, Alex hates clowns. And he said to me once, he goes, Mom, I have three goals. And I said, well, what are they? And he says, I want to get a good job. Great. I want to have a nice house. Great.
Sure.
I want to kick a clown in the Australia.
Excuse me?
Australia is the land down under. And I said, okay, you know, I'm kind of in on one and two.
I can go with those.
But we need to investigate number three. But I sent the link to him, and he goes, oh, I can't wait to not go.
Yeah, clown motel. Yeah.
No, it's really creepy. If you look it up, oh, boy.
I looked it up. No, thank you.
Not going.
No, thank you.
We will attach all of these links to the show notes after the end of the show. If you want, maybe you want to book a night at the clown hotel, you can certainly do that. And John from the Falls checking in on the text line. Honestly, nothing about Halloween scares me anymore. It's probably because I live in a country with a heavily armed dystopian cult willing to do whatever their supreme leader tells them to. No haunted house can be worse than this.
Wow, John. Way to take a hard right turn on that. this fun topic.
Yeah, it's but he's fine. Not wrong.
He's not wrong. All right. When we come back, Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about scary movies, the old and the new, which ones still hold up. And there are some classics that still scare the crap out of me. And that's the only way I will watch scary movies, if I know where all the spoilers are.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Yeah, oh, man. I've done that too.
Have you?
I've read like the Wikipedia synopsis, and I'm like, I know exactly where all the murder and blood and scary is happening.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing more exhilarating. I think it's because it makes me feel alive, because all of a sudden it's like, oh.
That big adrenaline rush?
Yeah.
Do you know what, Carol? I'm sitting here right now. I'm feeling being alive. I don't need a movie to help.
If you want to text in with your favorite scary movies, what are you watching this time of year? Halloween is coming up next Tuesday already, and then it will be November. So let us know what you think stood up, or what new horror movies you are looking forward to. We'll take your texts at 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We have the news coming up in just a moment. Make sure you download the app. You can take us with us. Take us with you wherever you go. It's super easy to download, and it's a pretty snappy app, too, as far as being able to call directly from the app. You can text directly from the app, and you can also check out all of these civic media stations all across the state. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Rhino and the Mayor.
Right. Do you ever have ladies come to your shop, your beautiful, wonderful store on Military, and ask if the diamond they got was real?
Absolutely, they do.
They do, huh?
And how many, if any, are married to people like John Rhino?
What's that supposed to mean?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app, Rhino and the Mayor.
Amy Herrick has an event coming up called Smart Girls Rock.
I keep seeing the term STEM. What does that stand for?
First of all, the acronym STEM actually came around, I think it was first in 2001. The concept has always been around, but actually calling it STEM is relatively new.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
2001 was just yesterday.
Why don't you just relax, Jim?
It feels like it.
How about, Amy? How about more Amy, less you?
Okay. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
1.1.
For joining us on As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinere in for Kristen Rye, Greg Bach on the board, Carol Kane with me in studio,
yep,
and joining us on the stream on Milwaukee.com's own Matt Miller, and we're going to talk scary things, Matt. We're going to talk scary movies.
This spooky movie season.
Spooky season. Well, now, as a movie reviewer, you have to watch everything.
I try. I've skipped a lot of the bad faith-based movies that have come out in recent years.
Like which ones?
Ooh, burn.
the various God's Not Deads and the various...
Left Behind.
You know what? Left Behind, the last Left Behind movie starred Nicolas Cage. So that's...
It did?
Yeah, Nick needed some money. Nick was on hard times.
Well, he's got a lot of exes he has to pay off, so I suppose you got to work where you can find it.
He spends a lot of money poorly.
So let's start with old scary movies that still hold up, that stand the test of time. Which would
Absolutely.
Be your picks?
Yeah, my favorite scary movie is The Shining. I believe it's actually going to be, if you're in the Milwaukee area, I believe it's back on the big screen at the Times Cinema this weekend. So Ooh. If you haven't gotten to see it on the big screen. I love The Shining. I think it is deeply eerie. I think it's scary on a visceral level, but also scary on a, like, get under your skin, unsettling discomfort. I think that movie's tremendous. I also think a lot of the Hitchcock still holds up. I love Psycho. I think Psycho is a genuinely really scary movie, perfectly made. I think it is an ideal, I guess you could call it a slasher movie, but it's just so impeccably crafted and so fun to watch. I remember watching that movie as a kid.
Really?
And like taking a shower, but with the curtains like drawn. So it's like I had like a 180 degree view. Like everyone's was like, nothing's going to sneak up on me here.
I'm not going to be taken by surprise. Exactly.
And your mom's like, why is there water everywhere?
Yeah, I had a talking to. There was a big conversation about what scary movies young Matt can watch that week. And it's weird to think of this as an older movie now, but it is over 20 years old now at this point. But The Ring is still a really creepy movie. I feel like people gave that movie a side eye because it was a big teen movie at the time and it got parodied a lot. And then obviously VHSs became very fastly outdated. But that movie's still really creepy and really impeccably crafted. I would love it if Gore Verbinski, the director, made more movies again. I think he just makes too weird of movies for Hollywood, so they've stopped giving him money. But it's a shame because a lot of his stuff, even his bad movies, are interesting and visually just fascinating to look at.
I agree with you about The Ring. That is a really scary film. Mm-hmm. And I guess
it's just got dread just dripping out of it. It's like you feel that movie just eerying into your room when you watch it on TV. And like they have maybe the best jump scare of all time, in my opinion, which is like the random cut in the beginning of the movie to the dead girl in the closet that wrecked closets for me as a child. Showers, closets, most confined spaces were utterly ruined for me as a child.
How do you feel about clowns?
You know what? I'm fine with clowns, honestly. I think clowns get a bad rep. I do think smiles are creepy, though. Like that horror movie that came out 2 years ago, ooh, Smile.
Yeah.
That movie was that hit me in a place in the back of my head. There's a bad movie called The Black Dahlia from a few years ago.
I remember hearing about that.
It's a bad movie, and it's barely about the Black Dahlia murders, but there's like stuff involving the man who smiled in that movie. And for some, just that alone wigged me out. I was like, the movie's bad. Creepy smile guy, don't like him. Get him out of my movie.
You're right, though, about Smile. It is very, very creepy. And I have a friend of mine who I said, you should watch this. And he called me at home and he goes, I got 15 minutes in and that's enough. Not doing it. Not doing it.
It's funny because it's very much like The Ring, but what if the tape was a smiling person?
Right.
You know, it's kind of a fun play.
You know what other one that I really, it was at the very end of the movie, it was like, no way, one of those is The Vanishing from 1988. They redid it, I think, with Jeff Bridges and things like that, but it's, it's a really, really interesting movie, and it's just a shock at the end. So you should check that out.
Yeah, that's a good deep cut. I should let people know, I should shamelessly plug for a second, I do have a list of 100 good scary movies you can stream on Milwaukee.com, whether you have Netflix or Hulu or Peacock or whatever cockamimi, streaming services are out there now. But there's a bunch of really good horror movies out there for people to check out. If you haven't seen, this is going to be weird. So have you watched The Haunting of Hill House?
Yes.
A director named Mike Flanagan, who's tremendous. He's a great filmmaker, great horror filmmaker. He's so good. He made a really good horror sequel to the Ouija movie. They made a horror movie out of the Ouija board. And the first one that came out is awful. It's very bad. Do not watch Ouija, the original. The Ouija Origin of Evil was directed by Mike Flanagan, and it's really good. If you like Haunting of Hill House, Midnight Mass, the Fall of the House of Usher is this new one on Netflix. If you like that kind of horror with like an emotional kick to it, I think you'd really dig Ouija Origin of Evil. It's startling. I remember seeing that in theaters and being like, what is business does this Ouija sequel have being good? It was bizarre.
Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com is our guest. We're getting into scary season. Halloween's right around the corner. Talking about old scary films that stand the test of time and new scary ones that are great as well. Wes from Middleton, Matt, says The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix is excellent.
It's excellent.
eerie with some good jump scares, not too gory, which that clears the way for me to watch it then. Best part of the whole thing was you really root against all of the characters. So while it's scary, you feel a little bit of justice the entire time.
Yeah, he's a really great filmmaker. He also tried to do the Shining sequel from a few years ago, Dr. Sleep, which I don't love that movie. I think it kind of tries to be a Shining sequel in its own thing at the same time. It's like a sequel to the book and the movie at the same time. So there's like soul-sucking vampires in it, and you're like, what is this doing in a Shining sequel? But even that is better than it should be, because Mike Flanagan is a really good filmmaker. He really invests a lot of emotion into his TV shows and movies. He really finds the core that really kind of, again, gets under your skin. That's a good horror movie. Anything can startle you. There's a bug next to my computer screen right now, and it startled me when I saw it. That doesn't mean that bug is, you know, Stanley Kubrick, you know? So
wouldn't it be cool if it was, though?
What if he got reincarnated as this bug? What a twist.
Box Elder, the movie.
There you go.
I just want to share with everyone here, you'll all be proud of me, for the first three or 4 years, I think it was 4 years ago, I sat down and watched the original Halloween.
Oh, what'd you think?
Oh, it's awesome.
It was interesting because it's, of course, of the times. It's like, you know, it's not super gory. It's got the jump scares, but not too many. But what I found very interesting about that movie is, you know, where a lot of movies, it's about the POV of the person looking and then being, you know, the jump scare.
Yeah.
Where this movie, they bury the lead and you just don't turn the camera and there he is. And you can see him. It's still scary, but it's not like you're not terrified. You're like, oh my gosh. And also, I feel like had any of those kids picked up the pace, they'd have been fine. Michael Myers, not a runner. He's not a runner. He's just not.
He was not an athlete.
It's working on nightmare logic, you know? In your nightmares, you're always so slow. You're always so unable to get any distance from whatever's chasing you. So that's the kind of fun nightmare logic of Halloween and horror movies like that. I do find it interesting revisiting the classic horror movies, because so many of them, the tropes have been so overused. I watched the original Exorcist this past week.
Yep.
And watching it, it just doesn't hit me the same way, because all of the stuff that's scary in that movie when it originally came out 50-some years ago has now been in every Possession movie and every Exorcist movie ever since. So, like, her talking like a grumbly 78-year-old man, you know, isn't scary anymore, because it's like, oh, well, that's the same vocal effect they've been doing in The Pope's Exorcist with Russell Crowe.
Well, and good heavens, now we're using projectile vomiting in comedies, like Pitch Perfect, you know, so that takes a little of the edge away from that particular effect.
Yeah, and you forget how long it takes to get to the exorcism in the original Exorcism. It doesn't start happening until like there's like 20 minutes left in the movie. Yeah. You're like, this movie is like more of a domestic drama. And then all of a sudden it's like, she sure is saying something she shouldn't be.
Matt, I have a question for you. Are you excited for the sequel to Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
No, I am not, because I actually saw Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and it's the worst movie you'll see this year. It's awful. And I'm not saying this is like a prude who can't handle, you know, gore and stuff like that. I saw Terrifier 2. Like, I've seen messed up stuff. But, like, it's so lazy. Like, it's so clearly a movie that was whipped together because Winnie the Pooh became public access, public use, and the director was like, ha! What would be crazy? A horror movie with Winnie the Pooh. I have $20. Let's make a horror movie.
It's that's hilarious. Crazy.
It's gross. It's choppily made. It's shoddily made. Don't waste your time on it. It is not worth the lols. There are funnier, campier movies to watch than Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
You know what? We have to talk about like Jaws, Silence of the Lambs, you know, I mean, those were all very scary movies because they played with you psychologically. Like, you never knew where the shark was going to show up.
Right.
Now, did they ruin the franchise? Yes. But the initial Jaws and Jaws 2 are very good. And Silence of the Lambs, I think he won Best Director. She won Best Actress and Anthony Hopkins won. And that's the first horror movie to get those big three, right?
Yeah, I think it won all of the major awards that year, if I remember right. It won picture, director, actor, actress. Yeah, what? So like it won the big four that year. And again, a horror movie. And if I remember right, a horror movie that came out really early in that year, which, I mean, obviously with the changes in the Academy and things of that nature, you know, older, like more recent or older movies from a year have a better chance at, you know, doing well. But back in 1990, 91, when that came out, that was kind of rare for a movie to like hang on for that long and live out all the buzz and all the backlash and the backlash to the backlash and to win Best Picture as a horror movie.
Yeah.
That movie is incredible. That movie is really, really well made. And it speaks to, Greg brought this up a little bit with Halloween too. Jump scares are fine. They're fun. They're exhilarating. But I do love in a horror movie when something creepy is going on and it's like the camera doesn't even realize it's happening. So like if you've seen The Strangers, which is another really good modern horror movie, that one's on Netflix right now. There's a lot of shots, and it's just a home invasion movie. Man and his husband and wife in their house get visited by three masked killers. And there's a bunch of shots in it where it's just her standing in a room, Liv Tyler is the lead, and all of a sudden you just see the serial killer just like standing in the back of the room, just like not doing anything, just like checking things out and surveillancing.
These are lovely sconces.
To me, the calm and the unease of like, oh, this is just like eerie creepiness. That's the stuff that hits me right in the scare centers.
If you want to share your favorite scary movies, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We will take your calls and your texts when we come back from the break. I'll get one in here real quick from the 262, Dave and the Shaw. I love old Universal monster movies. The Wolfman, yes. Dracula. My favorites is the one that brings all those characters together. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. I watch it every October. I love that movie.
That's hilarious.
You know, and you know what? Those movies have such... I was just talking with a friend today about this, where it's like even crummy old movies back in the day, they felt like movies because they really like cared about lighting and they were doing their best to make something that looked cool with the little limited resources they had. Obviously, those four Universal Monster movies, they had a little bit more budget than, you know, like Dunk. But they're still like gothic and creepy. I really love the atmosphere of those, the gothic vibe.
We're going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly cloudy today with a high of 44. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight, lows around 35. Cloudy. Cloudy skies. Tomorrow, chance for mixed precipitation. Highs level off around 41. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, It's 37.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Give me half a chance, cause I'm not dead yet.
To As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Greg Bach on the board, Carol Kane in studio, and Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com joining us on the stream. You can check in as well at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Talking scary movies, old and new, which ones have stood the test of time? What are your favorites? We have Mark from the SAC on the phone. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, and I enjoy the old horror movies. One I can remember, you know, seeing on television as a child was Tales of Terror. Were three Poe stories. One was Morella, The Black Cat, and the facts of the case of M. Valdemar. When the case of M. Valdemar ends up with, you know, all that was left of M. Valdemar was a, you know, a pool of bubbly and pure essence. But both of them, all three of them are kind of, there's humor in them, and there's also, you know, that the whole horror aspect of them that is kind of, you know, was really scary at the time.
Sure.
But, I mean, some of the new ones are just you know, what more imaginative ways can we have to cut people up? And with,
yeah,
considering some of the stuff that's going on in real life these days, I mean, that's horrifying enough. That
right. Thank you so much, Mark. I can't do gore. I can't handle it. I can't take it. I find it very upsetting, yeah, which is why these movies, I mean, in Silence of the Lambs, granted, has got some pretty icky stuff in there, but it's not like we're watching people cut off their own hands so they can get away, like the Saw movies and all that stuff.
I was going to say, I don't know what Saw franchise you're talking about.
I can't do it.
For as little as horror movies I can do, because I get grossed out and the scary thing kind of gets me, one thing I did watch as a kid, and I watched it all the time, was Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah.
It was gory, yeah, but it was hilarious. It was so funny.
Well, I will say that the one horror movie that it's very troublesome, but at the end there's vindication, is Hostel. You know what I mean? I watched, yeah, Hostel, and there were a couple of pieces during that movie. I was like, oh, no.
I can't.
And then, but at the end, I was like, yeah, get him.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Our news director, Terry Bell, is a horror fan. Good morning, Terry. What's your favorite horror movie?
Hi, Jane. Yeah, I'm a horror fan come lately, so to speak. I never used to like horror movies at all for all the reasons that have been stated, and mostly because, well, they're dumb. But lately, it's been a real renaissance lately. They've been making really smart horror movies, well-told stories for grown-ups that just happen to be scary. The studio A24 has been really good at this. Midsommar, X, Pearl, Barbarian. It's been a really good a stretch of time lately for scary movies that don't insult your intelligence.
Yeah, and I do think financially and critically, we are in kind of a horror movie golden age right now, even more so than comic book movies right now. Horror movies are the best bet at the box office. And that's always been the case on some level, because horror movies are cheap to make.
Sure.
And so they don't have to make that much money to get their money back. But right now, I mean, we are looking at this Five Nights at Freddy's movie that's coming out this weekend, potentially having a bigger opening weekend than the new Marvel's movie coming out in 2 weeks. And if you look at the box office across the board, the movies that are actually making money are the horror movies. They're doing really well. And again, part of that is because they're cheap to make. So in that case, you know, a $40 million opening weekend is great for a horror movie. Whereas if you're Indiana Jones 5 and you cost $300 million to make, well, it's a disaster. And I'm interested to see if there is a move towards the economics of these horror movies of being like, why are we spending so much money on these old franchises, on these CGI-laden IP brands that we need to make $1 billion to make our money back, why aren't we going back to making $40 to $50 million movies that, you know, can be modest hits and make their money back? And if they don't do great, well, okay, well, that's fine. You know, it's not that much of a money loss as opposed to, like I said, like an Indiana Jones 5, which has made like $400 million worldwide, but means it's a massive loser because it needed to make like $800 million to even just get out of the red.
Thank you so much for calling, Terry. We only got a couple of minutes left, 844-967-2789. I just want to mention two of what I think are the best scary movies in the last couple of years. It's The Quiet Place and The Quiet Place 2.
Oh, that's a great
Directed by Jim Halpert.
Yeah,
there is this interesting thing where comedy people are the best horror creators right now. Obviously, Jordan Peele with Get Out and Us and Nope. I think he's 3 for 3 personally. And Barbarian was just mentioned by that caller. That's directed by a guy who used to be in The Whitest Kids You Know, the comedy troupe.
That's right.
Yeah. Zach Breton, I think his name is. And, you know, you have Jim Halpert, you know, you've got him directing the first two Quiet Place movies. And you think about it, and it's like, well, it makes sense because horror and comedy are not that far off in terms of, you know, build up and playing with the audience and twists and turns and then hitting a punchline in the same way that, you know, a scary scene has to hit the punchline. There's a reason why comedy and horror have similarities in that way. And you're playing with expectations, which the best horror movies do, instead of, you know, just playing out the cliches as always.
One last caller, Brian from Maguanago. Good morning, Brian. Hi. Thank you so much for joining us.
I got to agree with you about gore. I'm not a big fan of that. But one movie that got me in my early 20s, and I think maybe because I saw it in a theater with some really good surround sound, was Event Horizon with Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill.
Oh, yeah. That's like a sci-fi horror.
Really good. Yeah, scary sci-fi. That was one of my all-time favorites.
What's the name of it, Brian?
What I saw in the theater. Event Horizon.
Event Horizon. I'll have to write that down. Thank you so much for calling. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It is interesting that there's not that many sci-fi horror movies, and maybe that's in part because, you know, Alien kind of crushed it right out the ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
And like, space just seems like such an obvious place to set a horror movie because there's truly deeply no escape. But it's like Alien came out and it was like, oh, they killed it. They did great.
Anything else?
We got that covered.
Anything else we should go see that's coming up?
I want to recommend a little hidden gem that's on Netflix called His House, about an immigrant couple moving into a new apartment in England. It came out in the pandemic 2020 year, and it kind of got overlooked. Really good. If you're more into the psychological horror, that's one to check out.
Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com, Carol Kane, Greg Bach, thank you, all of you, for listening and for calling and for texting. Have a happy Halloween weekend.
Yep.
We will be back with you on Monday starting at 10 a.m. Thank you so much for joining us on As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally in common.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Mark Remillard.